say we're trying to finish up everything today. Trying to finish up all of Hilchus, Nida, and Tevil, etc. So we'll see what happens. So we left off in the previous year, 2 weeks ago, we were talking about the Bracha on Tevila. We said that the Bracha on Tevila is not really any different than any other mitzvah, in the sense that you make a Bracha. Now the truth is that even though according to some Rishonim, maybe Tevila per se is not a mitzvah proper, it's a matir, but even a matir, a shechit also according to Rishonim is not a mitzvah, and we recite a Bracha as well. It's a halachic act, either b'teres mitzvah, b'teres matir, the ma'aseh Tevila requires a Bracha. If so, we should have applied the regular rules of Hilchos Brachos, that before we do the mitzvah, we always recite the Bracha. The Gemara says in the Sefer Pesachim, Kol HaMitzvos Mevarech Lehen Over La'Asiyasan. So before we blow the shofar, before we read the Megillah, before we put on tefillin, we always recite the Bracha first. So it comes to Gemara Pesachim and says that there is an exception to this rule, and always we recite the Bracha first, Chutz Min HaTevila. Tevila is the exception. Why is Tevila the exception? Because they're Kategavel L'Chazi, because the person cannot recite the Bracha before him. Why can't you recite the bracha beforehand? So Tosfos comments, because sometimes when a person goes to the mikvah, the person is not Jewish. Sometimes the person is going with Torah's tefillah's geirim. So how can you have the person make the bracha before he's Jewish? You don't become Jewish until you have a mila utvila. So the person is going to recite the bracha before the tefillah. Asher kiddushalim mitzvah. So it's not true. So therefore, when you have a tefillah's geir, you have leis brer, you have to recite the bracha dafke after you go to the mikvah. So Tosfos quotes two days. Therefore, what? How does this play out in terms of tefillah's nida? So some of the rishonim say, probably most of the rishonim say, that this consideration is true by tefillah's ger. When a ger goes to the mikvah, you cannot recite the bracha until afterwards. But when a woman goes to the mikvah, she's Jewish, ready? Why can't she make the bracha before? What, a nida can't make brachas? There's no such halacha. We assume that a woman, she's a nida, makes regular brachas. Some post in front of some strange thing that women that need the shouldn't make bracha, shouldn't happen. There's no such thing. We don't pass like that. So comes the Tosfos and says that l'chora, when a ger goes to the mikvah, you make the bracha afterwards. When a woman goes to the mikvah, she makes the bracha before. And the Oida Miri, then Tosfos quotes from the Reno, that maybe Hilchos Brachos, we want to keep uniform. We want to keep uniform in Hilchos Brachos. So since sometimes the bracha of Ala Tevila is recited after because of Tevila's Geirim, we have no choice. So too, when a woman goes to the mikvah, you also recite the bracha afterwards. Even though the truth is that 99% of the time, there are many more times the bracha of a woman is said than a tefillah of a ger. The chum wanted to keep the bracha the same, and therefore, even when a regular woman goes, even though there's no objective reason for her to recite the bracha afterwards, that's what you do as well. So we have 2 days in Tosfos. What should the practice be when a woman goes to the mikvah? Regular, plain, simple woman goes with tefillas nida. Does she recite the bracha before? That's what most of the rishonim have to say. Or should she recite the bracha afterwards, the way the Ri suggests? So the truth is that this idea of the Ri, that we want to keep uniformity in Hilchos Brachos, and therefore, even though it doesn't really make objective sense to recite the bracha afterwards, this is not the only case where we have this consideration. Tosfos quotes us concerning Netilas Yadayim as well. Netilas Yadayim is also a mitzvah. You should recite a bracha, Asher Kiddushalim Mitzvos Vala Netilas Yadayim, and then wash your hands. That would make the most sense. So Tosfos writes, well, it's not always feasible to do that. Sometimes a person just went to the bathroom, he comes out of the bathroom and he washes his hands, and he's going to go wash for bread, for that, whatever it is, his hands are dirty. So we can't make the bracha until after he washes. So Tosfos says, every once in a while, you can't make the bracha until after you wash. So for uniformity in Hilchos Brachos, we're going to recite the bracha after you wash all the time. Even though Stabi Yadayim are the Kiyosheim in terms of brachas, I'm allowed to make a bracha. If I want to eat an apple, I don't have to wash my hands before I eat an apple. We assume my hands are clean, even though I may have touched something along the way. You don't have to go run to wash your hands before you make a bracha per eitz. So Me'ikra did, if I sit down to have a sandwich, I should make the Netilas Yadayim, make the bracha, wash my hands, and eat the sandwich. That's what I should do. The place says, no, since every once in a while, the guy came out of the bathroom, and then he really can't make the Netilas Yadayim first, so he should make the Netilas Yadayim afterwards. So it's the same tizma, it's the same story that the Ri is saying about Tevila. There, the Netilas Yadayim, the place just throws in another monkey wrench. The place says, there, maybe it's different. There, since the Gemara says that if you wash your hands, and you don't dry them, so that may be a problem. That may be, you may not have fulfilled the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim properly, because the hands are still wet, the food's still going to become tummy, whatever the lumbus is. So the place says, maybe over there it makes more sense to make the bracha after the washing, because you didn't really finish the bracha yet until the actual drying. So when it comes to the Netilas Yadayim, Tosfos throws out two svaras why the bracha should be recited after the Netilas Yadayim. Either mishum lo plug of a guy going to the bathroom, or because maybe the nigo of the drawing is considered to be the mitzvah. So, but Lamaisi made it back to Astor when it comes to tefillah. So Tosfos is working with this one svara that's a low plug of the tefillah's gerim. So again, it doesn't make any sense objectively to make the bracha afterwards, but mishum tefillah's ger, that's the way to chamum sakin the bracha. So how do we pass in Lahalacha and the Shaila? So it's a machlekes to Mechaber and the Rambam. So the Sfarim Rishon never heard of this story. The Sfarim Rishon and the Rambam say that this din of making a bracha afterwards was only for Tefillas Geirim. It has nothing to do with Tefillas Nida. And a woman should always recite the bracha beforehand. That's the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch. And the Rambam quotes, no, the Rambam quotes some of the Ashkenazi Rishon, the Baal Yataisvus, who say, Yesh Omrim, that you should recite the bracha. You should recite the bracha afterwards, and that's what our practice is. That we follow our Ashkenazi tradition, we follow the practice of reciting the bracha dafke afterwards. Nevertheless, the post can point out, it's a strange minhag. The truth is that the Shittas HaTos is really a Chiddush. And the other Shad Rishon makes objectively much more sense. That why should the Chacham have changed the order of the bracha for a Nida? Because it once in 20 years that a Ger goes to the Bikva, it doesn't make any sense. So the Poskim write that even though a minhag is to follow the Psach of the Ravah, but Av HaPichein, we want to make everybody happy. So what do? So we throw in a second Tevilah as well. So the order, the Seder Advar, when a woman goes to the Mikva is, she does a Tevilah. She goes down, goes under the water, then she comes up, then she recites a bracha, and then she goes down a second time. So that way, it's a little bit of avilas yasad that the bracha is a little bit before she does the actual tefillah. But l'chor, it's a very, very difficult minute. It doesn't make any sense this minute, because once the woman is tahora, once she went under the water already, she's tahora. It's finished. The second tefillah is come out of the lace. The second tefillah is meaningless. So how would that become avilas yasad? So some poskim start with alumdis, with maisas, with kavana. No, we tell the woman like this. She should go to the mikveh the first time, and when she goes under the water, she should have in mind, if the Shulchan Aruch is right, that I'm supposed to make the bracha first, so this tefillah shouldn't be chal. Tefillah shouldn't take effect. Then she comes up, makes a bracha. Then she has in mind that if the Rambam is right, then the first tefillah was chal, the second is not. Love this. Can you imagine? The woman's been sitting in the bath in the shower for an hour and a half. She's been preparing to go to the mikvah. It's 11:30 at night, and now all of a sudden we're going to tell her to have a shtichel Torah to be yaitzin in tefillah ala safek or tenai. My mind says so. I strongly, strongly recommend not to do this for many reasons. First of all, who says this even works? Who said, let's say a person goes to the mikvah, hit any mucham zuman, I don't want to be yaitzei tefillah. I go under the water, and I'm not being mine. Kavod hafuch, I don't want to be yaitzei. So the Pasha Dvarim is a yaitzei anyway, because tefillah doesn't require kavod. We said this the last 2 weeks ago. What if a person got pushed into the mikvah? What if a person went swimming? They didn't even know that they were going to the mikvah. So there's no yaitzei. It's not like a mitzvah, like kish shayfas achilas matzah, where you require kavod. It's a matir. And even if you hold it's not exactly a matir, it doesn't matter. The chalais takes place. Whether you were yaitzei the mitzvah or not, maybe you can make a lumdus. I wasn't yaitzei the mitzvah tefillah, but I'm Torah anyway. The chalais took place. It's like mashal madavadava, the kiddushin. So the kiddushin, there's a kiddushin, there's a chalos kiddushin, and there's also a mitzvah kiddushin according to the Rambam. So the place can say, when a person gets married, you should have in mind, you've been yaitzei the mitzvah kiddushin. And what if a person didn't have that in mind? So I remember, I kid you not, it was once at a chasana. I wasn't Masal Kedushim, but a chosin comes up to me after the chuppah. Very shivish guy, with a salom this way, comes up to me after the chuppah and he says, you see, he's afraid that he may not have had kavona, l'shem mitzvah, l'shem chalois, l'shem kinyin, l'shem kedusha, l'shem day after. So I looked him straight in the face. I said, I can guarantee you one thing. When your grandfather got married, he also didn't have in mind l'shem kedusha, l'shem kinyin, l'shem this. He put a ring on our finger and he said, I ran and shot me and got married. So I said, but the effing you're married. Finished. End of discussion. Anyway. That's why the whole thing is very, very shaky. The truth is, as a marshal, it sounds like a little bit. The marshal says, what if you shecht an animal and you have in mind, not l'shem mitzvah? So it could be shechit is no good. It's a mechudish tikkun marshal. The folks who know shechit, the people about this. But hey, the pasha, the barb, the whole thing is not true. The whole das, the whole kavana, the whole mice is not true. But if I don't recommend to do this. I recommend to do to tevilas, because that's what the Midrash Yisrael is. But to have the funny kavana, just forget the funny kavana, just do the two tevilas. Then the post can point out there's a third tevila that's done also, which is not really for halachic reasons. The third tevila is just, it's like we do a lot of things three times. There's a Mishnah Menachas, when they cut the omer, so they say, we cut the omer, did you cut it? I cut it, did they cut it? They said three times. Three times is a good, it's the chazik milsa, it's the main, Hataras Tadarba, say three times. So Kondidur, say three times. A lot of things we do three times, to give it a little more chazok, to make it a little bit stronger. So the minute gives you throw in the third tefillah also, but again, the third tefillah is not mikra din, and the yam says the second tefillah is not really mikra din as well. There are some more chumras, ben hagim, ben chasidish astor, some are tevil seven times, some are tevil 39 times. I tell people, you want to be tevil seven times or 39 times, do it on your own, don't go build yourself your own private mikvah, and hire your own mikvah lady, don't waste everybody else's time. I remember once a mikvah lady called me, not from that mikvah, mikvah lady was called me, she said she has a certain woman who comes, and she insists on being tevil seven times, and it takes her a while, she's very, a little bit nervous, and So she said, it takes her 15 minutes just to be in the mikveh itself. So I said, you can tell Rabbi Sablovsky said that if she wants to be tovelis seven times, she should come at 11 o'clock at night, pay the extra hour fee, and let her do it on her own time. I said, it's not fair. There are women waiting in the waiting room, that she should be tovelis lechumah. I said, I think the only time that is ever tovel seven times is in the Ari's mikveh. So I think the seventh time comes from the Ari's, the Ari HaKadosh. So you know, you come to the Ari's mikveh, so you have to be tovel seven times. But I did it the Litvish way. You know the joke. There's the Chassidish way, the Litvish way of being tovel seven times. The Chassidish way of being tovel seven times is the fingers. I said it already once. Okay, I'll say it again. The Chassidish way is you go down, you come up, you say Tilim, you come down, you come up, you say Vida, you come down, you say up, you say Shemalas every time. The Litvish way is you go down, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you go up. As long as your finger comes out, you're out of the mikveh. It's a Lumbish way of getting out of the mikveh seven times. Anyway, Lamais, one time is Me'akev, two times is nice, three times is Liesas Ace, and more than that is Adkanfal Yosef. That idea that sometimes we end up we're stuck, we end up reciting the bracha when we really shouldn't, in the sense that we recite the bracha afterwards, the ikra didn't really should make it before, but for these kind of extra considerations, we end up making the bracha afterwards, but it bothers us that we do this. Therefore, we always try to make it a little bit better, so we have that same meaning by Kabbalah Shabbos. That's the same reason why women ben shlech, so they cover their eyes. Why do they cover their eyes for? Because you're not really yotzei in the midst of halachas neiros until you nana from the light. So we have a technical reason that we light first, the women light first, then they recite the bracha afterwards, to be cheshish for the bahag. The bahag holds that once you light the candles, once you make the bracha, that's called the Kabbalah Shabbos. So once you become a Shabbos, you can't light the candles. So therefore, the Ramah quotes a custom in deference to that shita. We don't really pass light, but in deference to that shita. So we tell the women to light the candles first, then they close their eyes when they don't look at the candles, so they're not enjoying the light, and then they make the bracha, and then happy birthday. They open up their eyes, and they see, lo and behold, they're enjoying the candles. So again, it's a yes as ace. It's just a chumra b'yama to do that because we want to make it a little bit over lasi yasan. But at the end of the day, it's not real over lasi yasan. And the reason why we do it is because our hands are tied. Either our hands are tied in tefillas yadayim, our hands are tied in tevila, hands are tied in terms of hadlachas neiros. There is a machlekes that we shown him that if lamaisa there's a rule called over lasi yasan, and here we're violating the rule of over lasi yasan, what does that tell us about the rule of over lasi yasan? So the Hagos Ashri, or the Rishonim holds, that with that exception the rule teaches us is that the rule is not ironclad either. The whole rule of Ovelas Yasan is only lechatchila, it's not b'diavad. B'diavad, let's say a guy finished reading the Megillah, he forgot to make the brachas. He finishes it. Uh-oh, I forgot to make it on Mikra Megillah. So I go, so she says, make it then. Make it right then and there. The guy blows shofar and he finishes the last kailas and uh-oh, I forgot to make a bracha lishmokal shofar. Make the bracha there. Because the whole klal of Ovelas Yasan is only lechatchila. Harai, it says the Gaz Ashri. If it would really be such a serious klal, then how would we be violating this klal right and left? We're violating the klal for Adlachas Neiros, and we're violating the klal for Tevila, we're violating the klal for Zos Yadayim. What would give us the right to violate this klal if the klal was really, really ma'akev? But the Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam says that the klal is absolutely ma'akev, and if you finish doing a mitzvah, and now you want to make a bracha afterwards, you cannot recite a bracha anymore. It's tough, it's too late with the evid. So the Rambam holds that these mitzvahs were exceptions to the rule. The same Chachamim who instituted the rule of Avel Siyasan, they're the ones who instituted these mitzvahs as exceptions to the rule. But if the Chacham didn't institute this as an exception, say Tekir Shofar, there never was such an exception instituted, so then you would have to make the bracha before. And if you goofed, and you didn't make the bracha before, tough luck, you cannot make the bracha afterwards. So that's what most of the posters seem to say. But going back to these, the mitzvah of Tefillah, the one that we're talking about, that according to the Shulchan Aruch, you would make the bracha beforehand, according to the Ramah, you make the bracha afterwards, that's what our practice is. I've told the story here before also. I once got a call from a mikveh. It was not a tinnik mikveh. I got a call from the mikveh from a Sephardi woman. She called me, she was in tears, that the mikveh lady told her that she has to make the bracha she has to make the bracha after she's tovelas, even though she was Sephardi, and the Sephardim followed the Pesach and the Shulchan Aruch. She was crying to me on the phone. She says, I've been married for 20 years. I always make the bracha beforehand, like that was my custom in my family. And now the mikveh lady is telling me that the minig hamakom in this mikveh is you have to make the bracha afterwards. So I said to the woman on the phone, I said, if you tell the mikveh lady that Rabbi Sabalovsky said that going to the mikveh is not davening for the yomer, I said, and you're not bound by the minig hamakom in terms of when to make the bracha. I said, if a mikveh wants to make certain policies, let's say what time you go to the mikveh wants to make certain chatzitza policies, That's the mikvah's entitled to make whatever policies their rabbanim, their poskim, feel they want to make. But to make a policy as to machlekes harishonim, as to when the minig is to make the bracha, I thought that was bizarre. So I said, I don't know who to. I doubt if it was the rav of the mikvah who paskin this, the woman who paskin this on her own. So I said, Lefinia's night, I think that's ridiculous. I said that anyone could, if you have a normal shita, you're following your minig of your parents, of your mother, and you're following the shochra. But if Yosef Karim's rabbi said would come, they tell her also she has to make the bracha afterwards. So I said, whatever's good for, whatever the minig of your family is, that's good enough for these purposes.
Those exceptions, like, I mean, it comes up in Halakha's Neiros. That's an exception that would apply for everyone, only
with
the
lashra.
For instance, when a man does it.
Right, so that's right. So we assume when a man does it, so the
foot
the order. Yantif is the machlekes.
If a man would light, you know, because he doesn't know the halacha, he lights the candles because he sees it, that's what his wife always does, and
right.
He doesn't know, but he already left the candles, and someone comes and says, oh no, you're supposed to say the bracha beforehand. Now that you lit the candles, could you light the candle? Could you say the bracha?
What? Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if the man stamma for this,
yeah, it's all
happened. Stamma will be okay. Okay, anyway, so getting back to the story. So the din is that you have to recite the bracha before or after the ma'aseh bracha has to be recited. There are some important dinim to be aware of when you recite this bracha, which are not really hilchos tevila dinim, but the post can discuss in the last siman in hilchos nid and hilchos tevila. And those are the issues of reciting a bracha when a person is not dressed. So there are two different problems of reciting a bracha when you're not dressed. So one is a problem min haTorah. You're not allowed to say Hashem Hashem. You're not allowed to say Dvarim Shebe Kedusha in front of someone who's not dressed. Whether that someone not dressed is you, or whether someone not dressed is somebody else. If you're seeing Machum Erva, or if your Erva is exposed, even if you're not actually looking at it, that would be a problem. That's an issur d'oraisa. The Gemara derives from the Pesukim Bashas Kiseitzei, V'lo Yirbuch Erva's Davar. That includes all of the above. Either my erva, someone else's erva, etc. Then there's a problem in the Rabbanan, even if my erva is covered, but if there's no separation between my lave and my erva, the person's wearing a long hospital gown or something, and there's nothing separating between his heart and his makom erva, that would be a problem in the Rabbanan. So there are two problems here. There's problems in the Raisa, there's problems in the Rabbanan. How do you get around these problems? So here the folks can tell us in Hilchos Tevila that if a person is covered over by the water, so their erva is technically covered, that really wouldn't be a problem. What about Liba Rosa erva? It's in the same area. It's a person standing up to the neck in the water, so their erva is covered. On the other hand, there's nothing separated between their heart and their erva. So most of the folks can assume that Liba Rosa erva doesn't apply to women, because just biologically, it's the way the Mokum erva is situated, so it's not really in the same area, so to speak, as the lave, since on the pointing on the bottom, so that's not really considered to be Liba Rosa erva, according to many poskim. And other poskim disagree. Other poskim say that this applies equally to women as well as to men. That's why you have two different minhagim, the shach and the taz, and the poskim in the end of Hilchos Nida quote two different practices about when a woman goes to the mikveh and she makes the bracha, should she instruct her to throw a towel or something, you know, to separate between her mokum erva and her lave, or should we at least make her do like this? The poskim say, even your arms maybe could serve as a separation. Should we be makbet in this or not? So there are different practices about this. So many women have such a practice that they'll throw a towel to separate a little bit, or they'll put their arms to separate a little bit. I think others are not. Again, it's hard for me to say what the minig of the mikvah. So I don't know. You got to check with the mikvah women as to what the standard practice is. But there are. It's not a hilchos tevila. It's not a hilchos nidusha. It's a hilchos bracha shayla. Namely, is liba rosa ever a consideration for women or not? Kapsin afkamin ladina. Not only hilchos tevila. But often in hospitals, you have the shayla. A person's wearing a hospital gown. So is that a problem for a man? That would be a problem. You'd have to put some kind of a belt on or something. That's one of the reasons why people wear gartels. In the olden days, people used to wear long robes, the Roman tunics or something. So then you have to put a gartel, you have to put a belt around. This manazeh, you don't really need a belt. You don't need a gartel because we have underwear. So the underwear itself, the elastic band itself is a belt. Well, even if a person doesn't wear a regular belt, if we wear a regular belt, kavachayman, that's good. So for us, b'ikra din, there's no real need to wear a gartel in terms of libra serva. Some do for altan sex, some do for other reasons, echos tefila, whatever other reasons, why some have the custom of wearing a gartel. But the original reason, the main reason of wearing a gartel, in terms of libra serva, usually doesn't really apply for us practically today. After the woman finishes the tefila, so she did the tefila, she did the bracha, whatever she did, bottom line is she's tahara, bottom line she's buteras. There are a few things that she has to be aware of post tefila halachos, halachos of minhagim, etc. There is a minhag that the Ramah quotes already from Rishonim, that when a woman comes out of the mikvah, so the first thing that she should come into contact with should be something which is tahor. Should be a nice thing. Should be a siman tov that she should see a davar tahor when she comes out of the mikvah. So the Ramah quotes from Rishonim, from Rekeach, and others who say that if she comes out of the mikvah, the first thing that she encounters is something which is pasnish, something which is a davar tahor, so she should really go back to the mikvah again. She should put tavelas again. Without a brach, this is not halacha. This is a machshava, a kabbalah, a tussle, whatever it is. So the Rokeach gives you some examples. I'll say a woman comes out of the mikvah, and the first thing she walks into is a pig. So she bumps into it. I guess in those days, you have pigs walking around the streets. So she comes right out of the mikvah, there's a pig walking, spazzing through the mikvah. So, that's a bad simon, so she should go back to the mikvah again. Or, maybe a little bit more common, she comes out of the mikvah and she walks into a dog. So it's a dog. The dog is also a... Just read about it yesterday's parsha. Halecha kapov, dog is also a treif animal. So those kinds of things. And she says, let's say even not a dog, not a pig. She bumps into an ovid of a zara. So she says, it's also not a good sim. It's also all not such good simanim. So she should go back to the mikvah again without a bracha. For us, that usually doesn't apply. Usually, the first thing she bumps into is the mikvah lady. So she bumps into the mikvah lady, and she bumps into someone else in the waiting room, whatever it is. And then by the time she gets outside, so even if a pig happens to walk past the mikvah, we have mussar. I've seen some deer on Windsor Road, but I have yet to see a pig. Hopefully, we won't bump into those too quickly. So, whatever it is, it's a minig that existed in the days of Rishonim. The minig in theory still exists, but that doesn't really apply for us. But some more practical things in terms of the halacha, after a woman comes back from the mikvah, so the question becomes, is she obligated to tell her husband that she actually went to the mikvah? So what's the halacha? So here, a woman had a cheskes tumah, she had a cheskes iser, so for the last 2 weeks she was asura to her husband, and now she comes home from the mikvah, so does she have to be motzi yedei cheskos? So does she have to actually verbally, orally inform her husband that she went to the mikvah? So this is a big machlekes poskim. So there are many poskim who say yes, but she has to say tahorani. She doesn't have to say those words, tahorani. She has to say, I went to the mikvah. She has to say, I finished. I went. She has to say something that verbally will express the fact that she went to the mikvah. Otherwise, how does the husband know that she went to the mikvah? Mechatesi knows that she went to the mikvah. So there has to be some kind of a verbal statement that she actually went to the mikvah. There are other poskim who say, nah, that's not necessary for her to make official, formal, verbal, oral declaration. If she does something which is so obvious that she went to the mikvah, say she gets ready to be next to her husband, so the husband realizes right away she went to the mikvah. It's not necessary for her to be motzi et mamish v'peh. That's a shot of the poskim. I tell people, you have to get, it's such an easy thing to fulfill, but you have to get involved in machlokes. You know, sometimes we have to make it, we have shasar chaks. Women who are gushing from their foot in the mikvah, it's a shasar chak that we spoke about before. But he said, for a woman just to say those words, tavalti, tahorani, whatever it is, she should say it, and we have to get involved in a shayla. When the ikar din, is it really necessary? And so, according to many posts, it's not necessary. So I tell people they should say Allah, the only thing is that the husbands should realize that they should tell this to their wives right after they get married, because otherwise you have a very strange situation. So sometimes you have a situation, a woman comes back from the mikvah the first time, she got married, 2 weeks later she comes back from the mikvah, and she walks into the house, and the husband's standing there with a real lamdan, with his bade shulchan open, his shulchan aruch open, and he's waiting for the woman to say the magic words, tavalti. And her college teacher never told her to say tavalti, so it makes a little bit of an awkward scene. So he says to her, did you go to the mikvah? So she gets very upset, she gets very insulted. I spent the whole day getting ready, and I went there, of course I went to the mikvah. So what the husband should explain to her before this scenario happens, is that according to some poskim, you're supposed to say that you went to the mikvah. Not that chas v'shalom, I would doubt that you went to the mikvah. I know you went to the mikvah. But afal pichein, some poskim say you should say tavalti, so you should say tavalti. So if you want to follow the sheet of saying tavalti, saying tahorani, saying I went, whatever it is, so then it's that would be the way to do it. If you hold it, you need a mamash, a dibur. It means a dibur. There's a kriyashma. It's a kiddush. It's a chirus amalek. You need a dibur. Pasha's not. Pasha's not. It's a dibur. It's a hodah. It means you have to have some official declaration. Manaf kamina. There's manazesha. She texts you from the mikvah. She texts you, I finished. I'm going to pathmark now. So I finished. I finished means I know she went to the mikvah. So I finished means I finished. I went to the mikvah. So that's also good enough. So that would, for the effort, you could be making a text. I'm not a big fan of texting in general. For this, you can be yesh tmokom lahokom. You can be yetzir kris ha-megillah with the text, but you can be yetzir this with the text. The similar din, the post can discuss, let's say a woman b'shas aveses, so we spoke about this months ago, but a woman is passes a time of veses, so she has to do a bedika, so depending on what kind of veses it is, veses kavua, veses ediku, etc. So if it's a veses kavua, let's say it's an onabeninus, so every 30 days, 31 days, whatever you define onabeninus from months ago, so the onabeninus comes, so the woman is required to do a bedika, and here also the post can say she's required to inform the husband that she did the bedika, because if she doesn't tell him, so vestas mean that there's a chazoka that she's probably going to bleed now. Either they're ice, they're bottom, whatever the din of vestas are. So he's assuming that she's probably a sur right now. So she has to be motzi b'deches kasa. So she's really supposed to tell him that she did a bedika. So many poskim say she has to really articulate it. She should say to the husband after she does bedika, I did a bedika and I'm still tahora. She doesn't have to say bezeh haloshen, but she should say that she actually did a bedika. So the poskim discuss whether is this the same shayla or not. So some poskim say that by the case in the vestas is even more chomer. Why? When it comes to tevila, what the husband's afraid that she forgot to go to the mikvah. He sees that she's in the bath, she's showering, she's spending the whole day getting ready. He sees that she comes back with her hair's wet, and it's exactly an hour after Ratzeis Gechol. Obviously, she went to the mikvah. But when it comes to bedikas, a lot of women forget. Right? We know that many women forget to do bedikas at the time of the vestas. So there's even more of a chashash. So again, even though the ramifications of not doing bedikas are much less, if you didn't do bedikas during Shas HaVesas, no, they're abundant, whatever it is, not going to the mikvahs, it is a kares, but forget nimtzeh chumro kulo, because people are going to be so careful, no one's ever going to forget to go to the mikvah, so then the fear that the woman didn't go is much negligible, whereas the fear that she didn't do bedikas is much more serious. So therefore, forget, there may be more of a reason to say that I did a bedikas than to say I did tevila. So again, you have machlokes supposed to in both cases. So there are mekilim, there are machmir. What do you have to be making for? It's such a simple thing. So the woman should get into the habit. When she comes back, you can say, I went. It's tevel, it's finished. Or she should do some real, some kimat oral declaration, so to speak, that she went to the mikvah. Something that's a clear indication that she went to the mikvah. And similarly, she should inform the husband when she does the bedikah at the right time that she did the bedikah b'shas aveses. There is another halacha/minhag to be aware of. Upon returning from the mikvah, that's the very last Rabbanuch's tefillah. The Rabban discusses the question of can the woman shower? Can she take a bath after she comes back from the mikvah? What's the shaila? She's tahor already. What could possibly go wrong? So this is based on a sugi Masechah Shabbos. The Gemara tells us in Masechah Shabbos that the Chachamim were concerned in the realm of Truma, that very often you had situations, people would go to the mikvah in order, the Kohanim would go to the mikvah in order to eat Truma, but the mikvahs weren't so clean. They weren't like mikvahs that we built today. There were mamish holes in the, there were caves, there were dirty caves, there were underground springs, wherever they were. They were filthy. So sometimes the person would go to the mikvah, and they come out of the mikvah, and they felt mamish dirty than they went in. So technically they're tahor, but they felt dirty, so they would go run to the bathhouses afterwards to go. They would go take a bath in the tub to clean themselves from going to the mikvah. So what happened? After many years, you had people who weren't such learned people, so they knew this is what my grandfather used to do. He would go to the dirty cave, and then he would go sit in the Roman bath, and then he would go and eat truma. So a guy who didn't know how to learn would chop and say, "Wait a second. What's making me tar? Is it the filthy, dirty bath? Is it the filthy, dirty cave? Or is it the nice, clean Roman tub? Must be the clean Roman tubs. What do I have to go to the dirty cave for?" So people stopped going to the mikvahs. They started only to go to the bathhouses, and then they forgot the mikvahs. So that was a terrible thing. So the Chachamim realized that there were Amaratzim who were making that terrible mistake. So they made a takana that any person who sits in the bath, any person who takes a shower, give a lui, whatever it is, an amount of water, like give a lui, a person has X amount of water that's thrown on them, so that automatically makes them tameh again, and they have to start all over again. So they can't eat truma. Anyone who sits in the bathtub can't eat truma anymore. So then the people will realize, oh well, we can't. Once we take a Roman bath, then we got to go back to the dirty cave again. So they'll chop. They realize that's really the dirty cave that's doing the trick. So the Pashta Dvarim is, this was a special takana made in the realm of Truma. We don't find this in all of Maseches Nigdin, Hilchos Mikvahs. We don't find this anywhere in terms of actually being said about women. But the Mordechai says it. One of the Rishonim in the back of the Gemara says, the Mordechai writes in Hilchos Mikvahs, that this takana was instituted for women as well. It's the same fear, that if a woman's going to go to the mikvah, the mikvah may not be so clean, and she's going to go take a shower, and she's going to think, after a few months, she's going to think, oh, it's not really the mikvah that makes me Torah, it's the clean shower. So she'll stop going to the mikvah, just go into the shower. So to avoid that chashash, chashash, the Chacham extended that gezeira as well. They made that takana that if a woman goes to the shower, if she goes to the mikvah, she has to go back to the mikvah again. So the Mordechai quotes such an idea. So the Ramah quotes this custom. Many of the Ashkenazi Rishonim quote such a custom, and that's what we try to follow this practice. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't say it. The Sfarim have heard of this. The Mechaber doesn't quote it. But the Ramah quotes from the Mordechai and others who say that we have such a practice that a woman really should not go to take a shower right after she comes back from the mikvah, because if she goes to take a shower right away, so that's going to undermine the tefillah. Yet Minat Torah doesn't do anything, but Midr Rabbanan, this part of this Gezeir Midr Rabbanan, this Chum Midr Rabbanan, she would have to go back to the mikvah a second time after she takes the shower. So the Ramah quotes such a custom. So the truth is that the first time I ever heard of this custom, I have to quote Moshe Momo from my grandmother, Allah Shalom. Remember, it was once I was a young boy, I went to the mikvah of Yom Kippur, and I came back from the mikvah of Yom Kippur, and I went to go take a shower. So my grandma screamed at me, I remember, Yom Kippur, she said to me, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to take a shower before Yom Kippur." He said, "You can't take a shower. You just came back from the mikvah. You're not allowed to go to the shower if you go to the mikvah." I know what she was talking about. Then I got a little bit older. I realized that that's what she was talking about. Probably doesn't apply to tefillah of men. So we try to follow this practice. The question is, until when? At what point do we say you're allowed to take a shower? Well, you can't take a shower for 2 weeks. Well, when does the end of this minhag? What's the end of this minhag? So in the realm of truma, anytime you would go take a shower, then you couldn't eat truma. So a nuchum, anytime she takes a shower, she has to go back to the mikvah again. It's ridiculous. So at what point does this minhag end? So different poskim say that the minhag was, the chumra was, that it shouldn't look like you're coming right out of the mikvah and you're going right into the shower. But the next day, you can take a shower already. So at what point do we let the women take showers already? So they're different minhagim. So there are some who say have to wait till the morning. Should wait till the following morning. She shouldn't take a shower that night. That way, that'll avoid any confusion as to what the real bitar is. Another Muslim saying, "Nah, you don't have to be so machpot the next morning until she's with her husband the first time. It's our first time they're together, and then afterwards she can take a shower later that night. That's also okay." Other Muslim even won't make. Another Muslim say she shouldn't take a shower in the mikvah itself. She just sat in the tub in the shower. She just got prepared for the mikvah. Then she goes into the mikvah, and then she comes out and goes right back to the shower again. That's what the minhag is. You shouldn't take a shower. Mamish sabuch le'tvila. She goes home. It's already a half hour later. She wants to take a shower at night. So that's okay. That was never included in the minhag in the first place. You have different opinions in the contemporary folks can win the minhag. It's very hard to gauge this because the whole thing is a chumar b'yalma. The whole thing is based on a Mordechai's extension of a gezeira that most three shalom probably never heard of this extension. So again, we have such a custom like the Ramon, and different Rabbanim, different poskim today have different hasharas, different opinions as to when this minig ends, so to speak. Does it end the next morning? Does it end after Tashmish? Does it end once you leave the mikvah? Again, it's hard to give an ironclad answer to this question because the whole thing is built on a minig and a chumrah biyama. But again, afal pi chein, we try to follow this as best as we can.
So the second one definitely wouldn't hold more chumrah than the first one, right?
You have to wait till. Right, well, let's say they didn't have Tashmish till 3 days later.
Right, yeah,
and then, I remember once it was a Kala once called me. She called me hysterical. She was she had just gone to the mikvah 3-4 days before the chasana, like whatever it is we spoke about this. There are more within the 4 days, and we don't know which mikvah she went to. I don't think it was our mikvah. She went to the mikvah. The mikvah lady told her that she's not allowed to take a shower until after her chasana, until after she's with her husband. So she said, "What should I do?" She was mamish crying hysterical. I said, "I don't want to be going to your house on the mikvah lady," but I said, it's the same. Maybe it was the same mikvah lady who told the Sephardi woman she can't make the bracha. I said, "You can go take a shower and relax. You can take a shower for the next 3 days." Anyway, so Baruch Hashem, we ended with Tara. So Ashrechem Yisrael, ma mikvah b'taras atmeim, avkash brachem b'taras Yisrael. So hopefully there should be a kedusha b'tara, and we hope Hashem next week we'll move into a little hilchos Pesach stuff for a couple of weeks. Then after Pesach we'll try to find a new topic to learn. Some rumors floating around we're learning. So hopefully as of now the suggestion was made to learn sugyas related to the Sheish Shmeitzer sugyas, Sfeikis and Rose and Chazokas, a little bit off the actual mamish halach l'mais, a little bit more along this, but we'll try to find some halach l'mais within that as well. So it was a suggestion. Maybe we'll do that for a couple of weeks and see where that takes us, and we're open for more. We can always learn some more parashiyos if you want. And we need a basin, quick. We need 3 guys for a basin outside. Okay.